on my placemat.
Do you ever fantasize about being killed?
Never.
Do you ever wonder about all the different ways of dying? You know, violently. I wonder, like, what would be the most horrible way to die?
Try not to think about dying too much.
I thought you said if we destroyed the brain, it'd die.
It worked in the movie!
Well, it ain't working now, Frank.
You mean the movie line?
And I know you're here because I can smell your brain.
Go choke a chicken.
Hey, these things don't leak, do they?
Leak? Hell no. These things were made by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
What the hell is in those bags?
Rabid weasels.
What? What the hell are you doing with a bunch of rabid weasels?
I was trying to explain to you, Ernie. You know, they came in as part of a shipment. Of course, they weren't supposed to be a rabid, you know, but you know how these things happen.
No, I don't. How do they happen?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Monsters from the Basement, dedicated entirely to the Return of the Living Dead, one of my very favorite horror movies of all time. Return of the Living Dead came out in 1985, and since then it's achieved cult status. It's one of the most beloved horror movies, one of the most loved zombie movies. It was the first zombie movie to feature zombies eating people's brains. And it was also the first movie to feature fast-running zombies, the ones that you had to really run away from. Several members of the cast and crew have made appearances at conventions the past few months. The first interview I have on the show is with Mike Perez. Mike, along with Beverly Randolph, is the executive producer of the new documentary More Brains, A Return to the Living Dead. He also worked on the Never Sleep Again, Nightmare on Elm Street documentary, and also on Heather Langenkamp's documentary, I Am Nancy. Now, after the interview with Mike, I spoke with William Stout. William Stout is a world-known artist. He was also the production designer on Return of the Living Dead. All the zombies you see in the film are his creations, and it was interesting to hear his take on how the movie turned out. One of the most remembered songs from the soundtrack is Do You Want a Party by the band 45 Grave. I was lucky enough to talk with Diana Cancer, lead singer of the band. Asked her how she got involved with the film and what the band's up to nowadays. Next up is Brian Peck. Brian played the character of Scuzz in the film, and he's also the only cast member that appeared in Return of the Living Dead Parts 1, 2, and 3. After my interview with Brian, I talked with John Philbin, who played Chuck in the movie, the kind of nerdy character. It's interesting to hear his thoughts on the movie and how he felt about it when he first read the script. From there, I talked with Beverly Randolph. Like I said earlier, she's one of the executive producers on the new documentary. And even though she appeared in Return of the Living Dead, she's not a big horror fan. So I enjoyed talking with her. And of course, I saved the best for last, Miss Scream Queen extraordinaire herself, Linnea Quigley. Been a fan of Linnea's ever since I first saw her in Return of the Living Dead, and it was good to sit down and talk with her. The interviews with Mike, William, Diana, Brian, and John were done at the FrankenCon, which was held in El Paso, Texas last weekend. And the interviews with Beverly Randolph and Linnea Quigley were done at Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky last month. So kick back, get your favorite beverage, a snack, and let's listen to Monsters from the Basement Presents Return of the Living Dead. Hope you enjoy it. Be sure to check out the website at www.monstersfromthebasement.com. You can also find the shows on Podomatic, and you can download them to your iPod from iTunes. Thanks for listening.
This is Michael Perez, and you've just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James with Monsters from the Basement. We're in El Paso, Texas at the first FrankenCon convention, and I'm here with
Michael Perez, executive producer of More Brains, A Return to the Living Dead.
Now, I know before doing this documentary on Return to the Living Dead that you worked on several others.
I did. My first was Never Sleep Again, The Elm Street Legacy, and then I moved on to Scream, The Inside Story. And during More Brains, I was working on I Am Nancy.
Yeah, that's a real good one. I got that from Heather a few months ago, and I really enjoyed it.
No, it was a lot of fun. It's a different kind of documentary, especially if you're a fan. It's definitely a fan favorite due to, I mean, everybody who loves Nightmare loves Heather. I mean, that's just what it is. And it's a different kind of documentary. It's not your usual talking head documentary. It's more like real time where the cameras are following her around, so it's more live action, and it's fun and exciting, and she's quite hilarious in it, so the comedy definitely sneaks out throughout the whole thing.
I enjoyed the part where she was running around trying to find Nancy toys and could only find Freddy toys.
That's actually, that segment is like one of my favorite parts, because I really love the part where she grabs the Freddy doll and she's like ripping it open, and the fans are like, what are you doing? Oh my gosh, you know. That part, that to me, that is just, I'm on the floor laughing so hard at that part. It's hilarious.
So are you a big horror fan?
Yes and no. More no than yes. But, you know, I do tend to watch my share of 80s cheesy slasher flicks. Yeah, but I'm more of a Julia Roberts kind of guy.
Now, how did you get involved with doing this documentary on Return of the Living Dead?
Well, it was weird how it all came about. I mean, this is something that I've been thinking of and trying to conceive for almost 2 years now. After doing the previous documentaries, I called my producer, Tommy Hudson, who's just a mad genius when it comes to creativity and the flow of these things. And, you know, I explained what I wanted to do, that I had the cast. I've been managing, repping the cast for nearly 5 years now. And, you know, so I was just like, let's try to do it. We called Beverly. Beverly's like, I'm on board, you know, so we brought her on as executive producer. She's kind of like the godmother of these films, well, of the film, should I say. And then next thing I know, for the next few months, we were writing, we were, you know, coming up with ideas, what we were going to do. And it just came together that we were going to start doing, you know, go for that like 80s horror comic cartoon creep show kind of feel, because, you know, that had such a magical influence and it still does today. You know, when people watch those shows, they're like, oh my God, I love Creep Show. Do you love the animation? You know, so that's kind of what we were going for, but we also did it our way.
Who did the illustrations in the DVD?
Well, the illustrations, it was really weird because when we were looking for an animator, and our writer, Gary Smart, was like, well, I can do some illustrations. And like he just started sending us over these photos. And we're like, Gary, these are great. You're an illustrator? He's like, yeah. I'm like, can you do more? You know, and he was just like, oh, yeah. Next thing you know, we get like 80 of them. And then he sent those over, which they're amazing illustrations. And then our editor, Benny Pierce, I mean, he brought it to life. And together, it just turned out so great. So great.
Now, you say you've been working on it 2 years.
I would say in the moment of conception, yeah, going on 2 years. Yeah.
I like the way doing the interviews with the cast members, the background scenery, the barrels smoking and the zombies and stuff in the background.
Yeah, that was, that all came, I mean, this is the love of the film that the people have for it. I mean, Brian Peck, who has so many of the props from the movie, and then we got in touch with Kenny Myers, who also has so many props from the movies, and Brian was not only our narrator, interviewee, but he was also our set designer. So a lot of that you see is Brian Peck. So it was his creativity and ideas that really, I mean, that makes that set look amazing.
The DVD came out a week ago, right?
Came out a week ago on Tuesday, yeah.
I've noticed a lot of posting on Facebook about people who got theirs and really, really enjoying it.
You know what? The response has been more than I could ever ask for. It's people, I mean, have nothing bad. I have not heard any bad things about this. You know, when you put out a movie like this, you're always like, you always brace yourself for the bad review. You're always bracing yourself for that person who's just going to stick you. But you know what? We've been really fortunate and very blessed that no one has had anything bad to say about it. And I really can't see so where they could myself, because I enjoy watching it over and over and over again, because it's just, out of all the work we've done, I'd have to say this has probably surpassed it all. I mean, we get better and better the more we do these, and it's a great story. It's great people. It's just wonderful. I mean, it's everything at this point, yeah.
What do you think it is about Return of the Living Dead that's kept it going for 25 years?
Well, I mean, it's really different because, you know, it's funny. When that movie first came out, it really didn't do well. Theatrical release was not great. And it's one of those movies that continues to grow and be better as time goes on. And I think people more today are now more expressive when it comes to how they feel. And everyone's different. Everybody has a different personality. And I think the characters in that film, Beverly Randolph characters, Jewel Shepherd characters, Linnea Quigley characters, everyone, and Tom Matthews characters, I mean, everyone can relate to every character. And not just the young people. I mean, Don Kalfa and Clu Kulliger's characters and James Caron, you know, there's a character in there that everyone can relate to. I don't know who I relate to the most. I mean, I really do enjoy Trash's character. Not that, you know, I dance naked on a tombstone or anything, but I really do enjoy it. And so I think it's within the cast. And when you watch the documentary, you will see this also. You see that magic between all of them, even though none of them are sitting in the same room together. You see the magic. You see why the movie turned out as a comedy. It's the characters. It's the actors. They have this amazing flaring personality, and I think Dan O'Bannon saw that when he was filming it, and he was like, he knew what he was doing. He really did. I feel like he really did, and it's just gonna be one of these films that people that grow up that are introduced to it are gonna relate to something in that film, even though there are zombies running around, but they're gonna relate to something, and it's gonna follow them for a long time.
So do you have any projects planned for the future?
Oh, geez. I always have projects planned for the future. Documentary-wise, there's a couple things thinking about. Nothing's really been gone into fruition or anything. I'm going to probably take some time and start singing again. I'm going to go, after I leave El Paso, actually, I have two classes on Wednesday and Thursday to start getting my private eye license. So, and it's just, you know, not because it's not something I want to do. It's just in a bucket list. It's just, why not? You know, the sky's the limit. Let's just keep going. So that's me. I just move. So, and I've also been in the works for probably about the last 7 months designing a new video game. So I've got that going. So there's many things I'm doing, and I'm all over the place. I'm a mess. I'm just everywhere. So lots of stuff coming from me and from everyone that was involved with this documentary. Tommy Hudson's always got things coming out, and his work is just absolutely amazing. He is absolutely a producer of our time. He is the producer of our time.
Now, I wanted to mention one of the cast members, Jewel Shepherd. She was supposed to be here but wasn't able to make it because of illness.
Correct. Jewel was supposed to be a part of this reunion here in El Paso at FrankenCon, but unfortunately, I mean, God bless her. I mean, she's right now, Jewel has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's currently going the fight with it, and it's not easy. It's tough, and it, you know, and when you do chemo and radiation, it takes it out of you. I mean, you literally have no energy left. So, but she's a fighter. She's a fighter, and she's going strong, and she wishes she could be here today, but she's going to take on the next show, so she's just got to recoup and get some rest. But she's a fighter. She's not going to let it get her down.
I know that fans that want to donate money to help out for Jewel's medical bills can do so online.
Yes, there's actually multiple places. You could go to darkdelicacies.com. You could go to monsterpalooza.com. You can go to frankencon.com. And you can also donate money directly to Jewel if you're afraid of it not getting to her at orders@jewelshepherd.com.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with the new documentary on Return of the Living Dead.
Thank you, thank you. I hope it grows as strong as the actual movie. I really do.
Are y'all going to be doing any convention appearances next year that you know of?
Yeah, we got a few. We're going to do ZombieCon in Seattle. We're going to be at Horror Weekend in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we are going to be at Monsterpalooza as of right now.
Well, that's great. We'll be looking forward to seeing you on the road again.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing everybody.
This is Alan Troutman, and you've just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James with Monsters from the Basement. We are in El Paso, Texas at the Franken Con, and I'm sitting here at the table of...
Alan Troutman, Tarman from Return of the Living Dead.
Yes, that's one of my favorite movies, and I decided to do a special podcast on the movie. So what did you think about when you first saw the script of Return of the Living Dead?
I wasn't quite sure what I was looking at. It was really funny because I was trying to analyze it as a completely serious, consistently logical thing, and I realized after a while it wasn't, that it was kind of loopy, and I would ask myself questions like, how could a zombie actually bite through somebody's skull? That's just kind of nuts. But it wasn't until after I saw the movie, I said, oh my God, this totally works. It's hilarious.
I guess you've become one of the most iconic zombies of all times. What was it like wearing that costume?
Well, I can't say it was fun, but it was fun scaring people. Or actually, on set, I kind of creeped people out, I think. Nobody talked to me much. I would sort of be stored over in a corner with the head on, waiting for my scene, and people would just sort of avoid me. What the hell is that? I'm not going near that thing.
How did you get involved with the movie?
My agent sent me on an audition. So I went in, and it was a very unusual audition. It just had one line, brains. But he just wanted to, it was more about the movement in this case. That's how I got started on it. It was just an unsuspecting, innocent actor walking into the right audition at the right time.
How did you come up with a wall for the zombie? Because there wasn't really a lot of zombies to base it on then.
Yeah, well, I based it off of what the description of the character was, which was that he was practically falling apart, that there wasn't much holding his bones together, that he was mostly melted away, and so he should walk as if he were about to collapse into a pile of sludge and bones at any minute. And so I just sort of internalized that and said, all right, well, what would that feel like? And I came up with that walk, and it's not really anything I rehearsed extensively. It wasn't like a mime thing that I knew precisely what I was doing. I just sort of winged it, and I guess it worked.
You're also a puppeteer, right?
Yes. I've been working as a puppeteer longer than I've been working as a zombie, actually. I started puppeteering when I was in college, in undergraduate school at Washington University in St. Louis. And because I was a acting major, and I decided to see what was casting around town, and I stumbled into an audition for a puppet production that the local PBS station was doing. And I got cast in that, and I started working as a puppeteer after that.
Are you still doing that now?
I am. I do a lot of work with the Jim Henson Company. Most recently, we've been doing this puppet improv show called Stuffed and Unstrung. So I was on, off Broadway for about 10 weeks last year, and we just finished a tour of the Midwest and Florida. So we're having a lot of fun with that.
Now, as you look back over what you've done in your career, what are you most thankful for?
Wow. I think I'm most thankful for the friends who've introduced me to the right people to get me more work. You know, I have really great friends who I've been working with for years and years and years. Some of the puppeteers I know in town I've been working with since 1980 in Los Angeles, and we all stick together. We all support one another. It's a crazy business that has seen better times in terms of film and TV and commercial work for puppeteers, and so I'm just really thankful for the people I get to work with.
All right, well, I appreciate you taking some time out of your morning talking with me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for coming by. Enjoy the rest of the show.
This is William Stout, and you have just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James from Monsters from the Basement. We are in El Paso, Texas at the Franken Con, and I'm here with artist and also did the production design on Return of the Living Dead, Mr. William Stout. How are you doing today?
Hey, pretty darn good. It's really dark and creepy down in this basement. Let me just clear away these cobwebs, okay?
All right. Do whatever you need to do to be comfortable.
Okay.
When did you first decide that you wanted to be an artist? And
well, actually, I was going to be a doctor. I was studying to be a gynecologist, of all things. And I was a science math major in high school, but I'd always loved drawing. I was drawing when I was a little kid, and I never stopped. I loved drawing comics and doing all kinds of fantasy work. And my last semester of high school, I decided to change. I switched from a science math major to an art major. By then, I had already taken my SAT tests, and I got perfect scores on my SATs, and my family was incredibly dirt poor. And so on the basis of the SATs and my family's financial condition, I got a full California State scholarship to any university in the country that I wanted to go to. And my friends thought I was nuts for not going to Harvard or Yale or a school like that. Instead, I picked California Institute of the Arts, Cal Arts, and graduated there with my bachelor's degree and majored in illustration.
Now, I know you did some work with Bop Magazine. Was that the first thing you did?
Yeah, the thing that launched my career was 1968. There was a contest to do the first cover for the first issue of a pulp magazine called Coven 13. It was fiction stories about vampires, werewolves, supernatural. And I submitted three entries, and one of them won. And when I went in to deliver the painting, I asked to see what the interior illustrations looked like, and they were done by the art director, who was not an artist really, and so I said, let me have a chance at doing these interior pictures as well. And so I ended up doing the first four covers and all the illustrations to the first four issues of that magazine. And it was a national magazine. I was still in art school, but it really I started earning my living from art from that point on.
Now, how'd you get involved with Return of the Living Dead?
I got involved with Return of the Living Dead because I was working on Conan the Barbarian with Ron Cobb. Ron Cobb was my production designer. And one of Ron's closest friends was Dan O'Bannon. And Ron would have these terrific parties. And usually at these parties, I would bring in the outside work that I was doing just to get a reaction from the people at the party to see if I was on the right track and see what was clicking with the public and what wasn't. And Dan O'Bannon always showed an eager interest in whatever I brought. And what I didn't know was that at that time, he was looking at my work and he was considering me as production designer for his first film, Return of the Living Dead. His first film was as a director. And he wasn't sure whether or not I could do high-tech stuff. And one night at one of Ron's parties, I brought in this cover I had done for this comic book called Alien Worlds, and it shows an astronaut sinking into the ground, and he's surrounded by all these creepy little creatures. And Dan looked at that suit and looked at the high-tech elements in that suit, and he told me he thought immediately, ha-ha, Stout can do high-tech. And so when it came time for him to direct Return of the Living Dead and select a production designer, he gave Graham Henderson, the film's line producer, a very short list. It was just two names, Bernie Wrightson and myself. Now, Graham is a smart guy. He did his homework, and he did a background check on both of us, and he found out that I already had experience in motion pictures, whereas at that time Bernie had not. And so he didn't even ask Bernie. I think Bernie was really Dan's number one choice. But instead, he just called me and made a deal directly, and he lied to Dan and told Dan that, he had called Bernie, but Bernie turned him down.
Did you do any research or anything on the zombies?
I did a lot of research on both zombies and crematoriums and mausoleums and that whole business. I was already familiar with the mummies of Guanajuato, which are perfectly preserved humans, some over 100 years old, that are on display in a little museum in Guanajuato, Mexico. It was really important to me that our zombies did not look like the George Romero zombies. I wanted something that was a little more challenging, a little more interesting artistically, and so I based them upon the Guanajuato mummies, plus also
the drawings in the EC horror comics by Jack Davis and Graham Engels to give our zombies a whole different look. And then Dan and I, we did research taking field trips to about half a dozen different mortuaries and crematoriums and looking at how those businesses are operated, how they were run, and I was interested to see what they looked like on the inside because that was a world I was not familiar with. And so I could recreate it in a very realistic way for our motion picture.
Were you happy with the way your creations turned out?
I am really happy with the way Return of the Living Dead ended up looking. The only disappointment I had was some of the zombies were not up to snuff. I had done pretty detailed drawings of how I wanted them to look, and our first makeup artist really didn't come through on that. It wasn't until we got Kenny Myers and Tony Gardner that we started to get the kind of things that I was really looking for to put on screen. I still sort of cringe when I see that first corpse come out of the ground because it's just much too clean and antiseptic, and it should have been grungy and creepier and stuff. But aside from that, I'm just amazed at how well that film holds up, and I never get tired of watching it. And apparently the public doesn't either, because every time we have a screening of it, it completely sells out the theater.
I know in Nashville, where I'm from, they're having a screening of it this weekend at one of the theaters there. Now, what are you working on presently?
Well, presently I'm painting two murals for the San Diego Zoo for their new elephant exhibit. One mural shows San Diego back when it had elephants, when it had mammoths and mastodons and about 40 other animals like saber-toothed cats and dire wolves. And then the second painting shows the exact same scene, but with the seven remaining animals that are there today. So it's a sort of a before and after. You know, a lot of that was, some of that was due to hunting, but most of it I think was due to climate change, with San Diego getting hotter and drier, and so the plants that nourished the plant eating animals disappeared, and so they disappeared, and when they disappeared, the predators disappeared as well.
And do you have a website on the internet where people can look you up?
Yes, I do. It's really easy to remember, too. It's www.williamstout.com.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time this morning talking with me.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
And I wish you great success in your future endeavors.
Okay, more brains.
This is Diana Cancer from 45 Grave. And you just entered Monsters from the Basement. Strap yourself in for the ride of your life.
Hello, everybody. This is James with Monsters from the Basement. We're in El Paso, Texas, at the very first FrankenCon. I'm here with lead singer of 45 Grave, Diana Cancer. How are you doing today?
Actually, I'm doing really good, James, and I'm so happy to be out in the great state of Texas and to be hanging out with y'all today.
Yeah, you got that southern draw down, y'all.
Well, actually, like I said before, my dad is from Houston, Texas, and we moved to California, and so I'm a little bit of a southern girl. So it's funny, when I go back down south and stuff, I'll start to pick up my dad's accent. I don't mean to do it. It just happens.
When did you first decide that you wanted to be a singer?
Oh, I think that came a long time ago. I think I was probably about 12 or 13, and I picked up a copy of Alice Cooper's Welcome to My Nightmare, and I was listening to that, and I go, I want to do that. I want to be the female Alice Cooper. And then it wasn't until a little bit later, when I started working with the original guys from 45 Grave, that we did the song Riboflavin Flavored, and that was my first time singing. And then after that, it's just been a wild 38 years.
Mm-hmm. So now you mentioned Alice Cooper. Who are some of your other musical influences you listen to?
Well, because I'm a baby of the 70s, and that was my teenage years, I listened to bands like Kiss, Ozzy, Alice Cooper, The Stooges, and then when I discovered punk rock, you know, I liked bands like the Ramones and the Sex Pistols and the Damned, and, you know, the list goes on and on. I just love that whole music era, but my roots are primarily like Stooges and Alice Cooper.
Yeah, I'm a big Alice Cooper fan, too. I've liked him ever since I was, I think, in the seventh grade.
That is so true. I mean, I remember on Halloween Eve watching him on TV when he did the Nightmare TV shows, and it was kind of hard 1 year because Kiss did Phantom of the Park, and he was playing Welcome to Your Nightmare. I'm like going, I don't know what to watch. I was torn, but Alice Cooper won.
Yeah, back then you didn't have the ability to record something and watch it later. You had to watch one or the other.
Yeah, this was way back even before they had beta tapes or anything like that. It's like it was either you did this or did that. That's so true.
I remember the first VCR that my family got, Kiss's Phantom of the Park or whatever it was. That was the first thing I recorded.
Oh, neat. Did you get it off of like TV or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I remember the same thing with us with our first VCR. We're like, wow, you can record this and watch it later at your. That was a big stepping stone back in the 70s, right?
One of your best known songs is from Return of the Living Dead. How did you get involved with that movie?
Well, at the time, 45 Grave was signed to a label called Enigma Records, which became Restless. And when they approached us, Deanna Banyan was searching for the perfect music to be the soundtrack. And it wasn't until a little bit after the initial filming was done that they decided to go for a punk rock soundtrack. And they were going through like all the different songs, and they heard Party Time. And they asked us if we would do a special version for the movie. I rewrote all the lyrics, so the version that you hear in Return of the Living Dead is completely different from what we do live on stage. Now, the whole soundtrack with bands like TSOL, The Cramps, The Damned, you know, SSQ, Rocky Erickson, they were all Enigma artists. So when they finally decided on Party Time as the main theme song, they took all the other bands and made it into this giant, like, mega punk rock, death rock, whatever you want to call it, like, soundtrack, which everyone says is still one of the best, like, you know, movie soundtracks out there. And we were very, very happy because we were doing a horror movie, and it was like, it's something that I am still very much in awe and honored that I was a part of, because back then you were going, oh yeah, let's put a song in a horror movie. We didn't know if it was going to do anything. And now here, you know, all these years later, you know, it has its own cult following. You know, people are here at the convention to see the Return of the Living Dead panel and meet all the cast and crew and stuff like that. It's been an amazing time.
How do you categorize your band's music? Do you call it punk?
I think the best description of what we do came out in 86 when a friend of mine was writing a review for us, and she did not know how to categorize it. It was 45 Grave, our favorite psychedelic post-punk heavy metal what the fuck ghoul rockers, which is basically because we do heavy metal, we do death rock, we do horror punk, we do punk. We do all sorts of music, and I think it's just part of us being creative and enjoying music out there. Most people, they naturally assume, you know, because I like to look dead all the time, that, you know, oh, you're gothic or something. I go, no, I'm a punk rock girl that likes to look dead, but I listen to heavy metal too. You know, it's still one of my favorite things that I listen to, and we are just doing what we do. It's been hard to put us in a category or a genre, because I think music is music, and if people are happy and enjoy what we're doing, then more power to you. I love to see you out at the shows, because we'll all have a good time.
We were talking this morning, you was telling me about a new CD y'all are working on.
Actually, we have been in the studio now for the past 3 months working on a new full-length album. It's called What Nightmares Are Made Of, and we're going to be doing a movie to go along with it. We have Frank Agnew from The Adolescents playing on guitar. Brandon Blackwell on bass and Tom Coyne on drums. It's a 10-song album. It's going to be released on CD, vinyl, and digital download. And then when the album comes out, we will be doing a lot more touring to support the album, new T-shirts, new posters. And I hope everyone digs what we did, because I know Frank and the rest of the guys had a great time recording it. Frank is right now back in Fullerton. They're editing the album so we can make our deadline.
Do you have a website on the internet where people can check you out and keep up with what's going on?
Right now we have 45grave at .info. I can give you the rest of that information. The dinacancer.net website is now going under maintenance, so there'll be a brand new one up probably within the next couple of months. And you can also look us up on Facebook. We have our 45grave fan page as well as the dinacancer fan page. And everyone's more than welcome. And if you're at one of our shows, please sign up on our mailing list so you can, you know, be in the pulse of everything for when the album comes out, because we will be doing special album release parties all over the United States, 13 of them. And I believe one of them is going to be out in Nashville. Yeah, Nashville already won the bid on one of them. I'm already setting that up, and we will be announcing that of where the parties are going to be at. We want to keep in touch with people and let them know that it's coming out, and we have, you know, we're going to start working on some more horror movie soundtracks. I mean, last year, Night of the Demons came out. We did the title song, Night of the Demons, for the remake. And that song is going to be on the new album. So you're going to get a lot of new stuff.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking some time here talking with me this afternoon.
Well, thank you. And we've been having such a great day. And I know poor Jane, he's been following me all over the convention going, can we have time? And I'm going like, no, I'm being bombarded by people wanting to autograph and sign. So I'm really happy that we have the last 10 minutes to have some us time and to reach out. And I guess my last words to everyone out there is, if you have a dream, follow it. If you're an independent film director, band, or whatever, follow your dreams. And remember to always support your independent filmmakers and bands, because that will be the next generation to take over in the genre. And everyone have a very, very spooky evening, and happy Halloween.
This is Brian Peck, a.k.a. Scuzz from Return of the Living Dead, and you've just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James with Monsters from the Basement. We are in El Paso, Texas, at the very first FrankenCon convention, and I'm here with
Brian Peck, sometimes known as Scuzz from Return of the Living Dead.
That's right. Now, I guess you're the only member of the cast that appeared in 1, 2, and 3, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Obviously, James Karen and Tom Matthews were in part 2 as well as me. And then, they were kind enough to ask me to come back for a few days and do a little cameo appearance in part 3. So, yeah, I guess I have that distinction.
Now, was Return of the Living Dead the first movie you did?
No, I had actually done a few things before. I had done a film called The Last American Virgin in 1982, which I played totally different character. I played a nerd named Victor. I was the guy with the thick horn-rimmed glasses and braces that they picked on through the whole movie. Stole my car, drove it in the ocean, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I had guest starred on a handful of TV shows, but then Return of the Living Dead was my next big film role. I was a student theater major at USC at the time, and Return of the Living Dead shot in the summer of 1984, and it was perfect timing because it was started right after I finished my junior year of college and ended right before I started my senior year. So my summer vacation of 1984 will always be remembered as having shot Return of the Living Dead.
That'd be a great way to spend a vacation, I think.
It was fantastic for me. I mean, I was so thrilled to be in a zombie movie, because I was a horror movie fan already, and I was a fan of the Romero film. So yeah, it was kind of a dream come true to get to battle zombies for the summer. And it was kind of funny because, you know, needless to say, I did not actually have a mohawk previous to shooting the movie, but I obviously cut my hair for the film. And when we finished shooting, I just shaved my head completely. And then, boy, just about a week later, went back to school for my senior year. And actually, you know, shaved head nowadays isn't that unusual. It's a, you know, fairly common style. But back in 1984, the guys just had as much hair as possible. And I came back to college with my head shaved. And I think a lot of people thought I, you know, was sick or something was wrong with me. They weren't sure why my head was shaved. We have Miguel Nunez and Linnea Quigley taunting me while I'm trying to give this very intellectual interview. Oh, my God, Linnea's taking her clothes off. It's so distracting. John, let's get some light over here. Trash is taking her clothes off again. Sorry, I like to do other people's dialogue from the movie.
So did you just go in and audition for the part and get it?
I did, sort of, kind of. It was a little different than that because a friend of mine had auditioned for Beverly Randolph's role for the part of Tina, an actress named Kimmy Robertson, who went on to be in Twin Peaks, and she and I did Last American Virgin together, and we became very good friends. And she went in and auditioned for Tina, and I had a call back, and she's the one who told me about the script and said, oh, you'd love this movie, and then thought, you know, you'd actually be good in this movie, and you know, you should get your agent to get you in on it. So I did bring it up to my agent, and he said he'd get back to me, and then eventually didn't get back to me, and I called him. And eventually he told me that he wasn't going to send me in on it because I wasn't right for any of the parts. Yeah, he said they're looking for, like, punk rockers and street kids. And I said, well, yeah, but that's called acting. I mean, you know, that's so. He actually refused to send me in on the audition. So my friend took my picture and resume in the next time she went to the casting office, and Stonzi was nice enough to take her word for it and call me in, and then it was the normal audition process. But getting my foot in the door was a little more difficult than usual, and I always was very sort of annoyed that I booked the role, and my agent said I wasn't right for any of the parts, and I still had to pay him a 10% commission, so...
Got paid for doing nothing, huh?
Yes, I take solace in the fact that he's no longer with us.
What do you think it is about the movie that's gained its cult status?
You know, it's funny. I've thought about that a lot because, you know, for a good 20 years or so, I don't think any of us in the cast realized, you know, that it was sort of gaining a cult status. And it wasn't until we did this 20th anniversary screening in Hollywood at the American Cinematheque, and we got there, and the screening was sold out, and the fans were unbelievably supportive and excited, and we all kind of scratched our heads and went, whoa, what happened? I mean, you know, somewhere when we weren't paying attention, this movie got really popular. So I can't answer exactly how that happened. You know, it aired on cable a lot, so people kind of rediscovered it or discovered it for the first time. Many of the fans are younger than the movie is, so, you know, they discovered it on cable initially, I think. It's just a great blend of comedy and horror and the great punk rock soundtrack, and oddly, because it's very strange because the movie's so rooted in the mid-80s with the punk rock music and some of the outfits we wear, and yet I just saw it again recently at a screening in Denver. It holds up. It does not feel outrageously dated. And so, well, listen, we had a bunch of kids here yesterday with mohawks and dog collars and spikes and pins. And frankly, they look, you know, similar to how we did in the movie. So that look kind of has, you know, carried on. And I don't know. It manages to be fairly timeless. And at the same time, it's scary, it's funny, and has a great soundtrack. And I don't know. It just has some unique things. I mean, it's the first time that zombies craved brains or started screaming for brains, and that's just become now a part of zombie pop culture. You know, when you see The Simpsons making jokes about brains, you know, it really caught on. So it just has a lot of, you know, one of the earliest films to have zombies that, you know, could outrun you. And so it just has a lot of elements that have lasted. And fans say all the time, you know, oh, this is like my favorite zombie movie, or this is the first zombie movie I saw, and I don't know, but it's great. We're very appreciative of the fact that we still get to talk about it 27 years later.
What did you do after Return of the Living Dead?
After Return of the Living Dead, you know, it's strange because I right after the movie came out, I got offered a job on the TV series Growing Pains, the old ABC sitcom Growing Pains, to be an acting coach for the young young actors on the show. And it was a very bizarre job offer that I didn't accept at first because I thought, you know, I was Mr. Big Actor Guy because Return of the Living Dead had just come out. And I ended up taking the job because it was good money and I didn't think it would last very long. And ultimately, I ended up, you know, on working on Growing Pains for 7 years. Yeah, as the acting coach for the young actors on the show. So I continued to act here and there, but I ended up with this full-time acting coach job, which was something that really took off for me, and I did for many, 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 many years on shows like Growing Pains and Boy Meets World and The Mommies and all that, and The Amanda Show, some Nickelodeon shows, and that really became like a big second career for me. But in the meantime, I did a lot of acting roles here and there. My running line is that I act when people let me. And then for about the last 6 or 7 years, I've been produced several independent films, and then just did a sort of my first big major acting role in a long time in a pilot for a TV series for the Sci-Fi Network. The show is called Zeroes, which stands for Zombie Extermination and Removal Operations, and it can only be described as sort of like Reno 911 meets The Walking Dead, and I'm the boss of the Zeroes operation, and I'm sort of immature and a slacker, but it has zombies in it, so you know I'm back to working with zombies again. So we had a blast. It was a great show. It's really fun, very funny. We've only done the pilot so far, and we're currently waiting to hear if we're going to get picked up or not. And if we get picked up, we'll go into production in early 2012. So if so, look for me on the Sci-Fi Network battling zombies once again. It'd be fun. I hope so.
Now, when you look back on your career, what means the most to you?
Well, I mean, this sounds like a fake answer just because we're talking about Return of the Living Dead, but truly, Return of the Living Dead is sort of like the number one memory for me as far as my acting career, or even showbiz careers, goes, just because it was sort of the culmination of a bunch of different things that I always dreamed about as a kid. You know, I wanted to be an actor, but I loved horror, sci-fi, and I loved the Romero zombie movies. And, you know, I always wanted to, like, die a cool death on screen. There's all sorts of things. And I was a huge, gigantic fan of Alien. And, you know, here I was working with Dan O'Bannon. I mean, when I got the part in Return of the Living Dead, I had the Alien 1 sheet hanging over my bed in my bedroom. So this particular project was sort of the culmination of just, you know, a lot of dreams I had had my whole life. And then the experience itself was fantastic for me. I mean, I really had a great time. And, you know, I've said it before in interviews and on this documentary we did recently, but it's true. I mean, I would show up on set on my days off just because there was nowhere else I'd rather be. So I would come and help out. I'd say, what do you want me to do? You know, and Dan, I think, appreciated that, and he would put me to work. So I puppeteered things, and I played a zombie, and, you know, I did all sorts of weird stuff on the film. So, no, this is definitely the highlight for me when I look back on my career, such as it is.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time out this morning talking with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for talking to me.
I wish you best of luck in the future.
Thank you. Tell everyone to check out the documentary, More Brains, The Return of the Living Dead, on DVD at getmorebrains.com. I get nothing out of it other than the fact that I just saw it, and it's really cool. And if you guys like this movie, you'll love this documentary. It's really great.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name's John Philbin. I've just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James with Monsters from the Basement. We are in El Paso, Texas at the very first FrankenCon convention, and I'm here with
John Philbin.
John played Chuck in Return of the Living Dead.
Yes, that's correct.
How did you get involved with that movie? Did you just go in and audition for it?
Yeah, just like everybody else, and my agent thought it might be an interesting movie because Dan O'Bannon had something to do with it, and so he just sent me in on an audition for Stanzi Stokes, and the audition took a long time. You know, I had to go back and do it a couple of times and work with everybody else. He took his time casting, which paid off, and I got the part.
What do you think when you first read the script?
I did not understand it. Yeah, I thought, this is weird. What's this movie going to be about? I don't really get it. Are they going to do some rewriting or, like, I didn't understand it. I just really read my part and some of the other stuff, and I'm like, well, I'm not that involved in the other stuff, so I'll just read my stuff and see if I can keep that perspective. So I really didn't know what the heck was going on when I saw that movie. It was unbelievable. Different.
Now, in the movie, you played kind of a nerdy character. Were you anything like that character growing up?
No.
That's good.
I was nothing like that character. And it was painful for me to play that character because he's so awkward and he never says the right thing. You know, nobody likes him. People just keep telling him to fuck off through the whole movie. You know, and all he just wants to belong with a group, and he's trying so hard, too hard. But I think we all know those people, you know. But I didn't play him like I felt sorry for myself. I just played him, you know, hardcore. This guy is an outsider. He does not fit in with this group. He's just not in the. These are not his people. But I had a great time. You know, we got trapped in a situation where we had to do the best we could with what we had to survive. Even though we didn't survive, we had a pretty good adventure, you know, fighting off the zombies till we got killed.
Were you a horror fan before you did the movie?
I'm more of a horror fan now, not because of the movie, but just because I watch a lot of movies and I love horror movies now. And I've always been a horror fan. When I was a little kid, I think Frankenstein, The Mummy, The Wolfman, Dracula, The Invisible Man, those were my favorite movies. And anything that had anything to do that said horror on the TV guide on a Saturday or Sunday when I was allowed to watch movies, I watched it. So, you know, The Haunting and was, my, you know, and ooh, I love that movie. And I love sci-fi of, like, Cyclops movies, you know. So, yes, I was a fan. When I started being, this was the second horror movie I did. The first was Children of the Corn. In fact, the first movie I ever did was Children of the Corn. And that's kind of became a horror franchise, too. But this was different. I didn't see this as a horror movie. I really didn't know what this movie was going to turn out like for some reason. I don't know. And when it did, I was surprised. So, yeah, I was and I am still a fan of a horror genre. I mean, I loved Aliens. It's a good movie. But I like John Carpenter movies. You know, and the Halloweens and Friday the 13th. I love those scary fucking movies. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I love scary movies.
Yeah, they're great. What is it about Return of the Living Dead that you think has made it sustain its popularity over the past 25 years?
I think it was the originality and the mixing of the genres that he had comedy with zombies, with punk rock, and, you know, off-center casting, you know, definitely off-center characters that he took a long time to cultivate, and he had a vision that no one else really understood at the time. So everybody's doing their best to do something, you know, they think is right, and sometimes it just looks so wrong. And I think if you get enough people making those beautiful type of accidents at the same time for a long enough period in your film, you have a chance at touching that part in audiences where they're like, that's so weird, I'm going to see it again. That movie has these weird performances and weird parts in it that are surprising because you just don't expect them. And I think when you can do that enough, you know, not everybody can do that, but, you know, when a whole team can get together with, you know, the direction of, you know, a visionary, you might get lucky and make a movie that people want to see more than twice, you know. That doesn't happen very often. Most people don't see movies more than twice.
It's one of the movies where you watch it the first time and then you watch it again and you see something you didn't notice. I don't know how many times I saw it before I noticed the eye chart on the wall, But yeah, it's a great movie for sure.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where everybody did something different and funky and cool, and you're like, this isn't going to come together That's why I didn't understand it, because it doesn't come together normally like you might expect it to. It's not a typical movie by any means, but it does follow all the the codes and the chart. It follows the graph of the journey of a good horror movie. But it's got so many funky moments in it that you don't expect and are weird and strange and unusual that people want to see it again and get and learn new things about it. So I'm glad about that because I get to hang out with the cast.
What do you do now? You still acting?
No, I'm teaching surfing. I mean, I act anytime anyone asks me to be in a movie. Like, I was in Soul Surfer that just came out. I'm still an SAG actor, and I do web horror movies and stuff when people ask me to do them. But I don't chase it. I don't audition. I teach surfing full-time. I have for the last 12 years. But I have done, one other zombie movie and a feature film about surfing. I produced a documentary about surfing. And I try to stay involved in the entertainment industry and somehow, but I don't drive around North Hollywood and Burbank going on auditions anymore. I work. I'm a teacher.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time out talking with me this morning.
It's my pleasure. It's great to meet you. I'll see you in Tennessee.
Gatlinburg.
Yeah, Gatlinburg next year. Look forward to it.
This is Beverly Randolph, and you just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James with Monsters from the Basement. We are in Lexington, Kentucky, at the final day of the Scarefest, and I'm sitting here talking to one of the stars of The Return of the Living Dead, Miss Beverly Randolph. How you doing today?
I'm just great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing real good. Did you have a good time this weekend?
We had a great time. It was true Southern hospitality here. It was wonderful.
Yeah, you're in the land of the living dead.
Yeah, not far from Louisville, where we all got blown up.
When did you first decide you wanted to get into acting?
Probably, it was not by choice. When we were little children, my sister and I were twins, and we started in Shenandoah with Jimmy Stewart. We were baby Martha, and then we stopped working. We were about 5 years old after doing commercials and some TV, and then at, I think I was about 17 or 18, I went, maybe I'd like to try that again, and I did, and I worked for a couple more years and did Return, and then I stopped working again.
When you first got the script for Return of the Living Dead, what did you think about it?
I first saw just sides with just a few pages, and I thought, ooh, this is really interesting. And then after I moved forward in the process of the interviews, they gave me a script, and I was so excited about it. I loved it, and I thought, oh my gosh, I want this part so badly. Because sometimes you'll read something, and it's not your favorite, and then you end up getting the part, and it's like, oh wow, okay, cool. But this one I wanted so much. I just loved the part.
I've heard you say over the course of the weekend that you're not a big fan of horror movies.
No. People say, oh, look, there's so-and-so. I'm like, oh, well, what was he in? And, I have no idea about most of the people that are here of what they've done. But, I don't. I don't even care for The Wizard of Oz. The Sixth Sense, I thought, was scary enough for me. But actually, I've become a fan of True Blood, so which I find to be slightly pornographic and scary. So it's fun, yeah.
So after you did Return of the Living Dead, what did you do?
I think I might have done a commercial or two, and then I stopped acting, and we moved temporarily to Las Vegas because my husband's uncle was building a casino there. So I thought, oh gosh, that'll be a lot of fun, and I got my pilot's license. And after that, I just became a housewife. That was it.
Do you have any memories that stand out in your mind filming Return of the Living Dead?
Oh, gosh, yeah, there's so many. Just being cold and wet, falling down in the mud puddle over and over and over again because I believe Dan was trying to get even with me. And I went to Dan's house one time to run lines, and it was a little unusual to go to the director's house. He usually did it in an office or a studio. and went there, and he had guns on the table, and I was so afraid. I was only 18 at the time, 17 or 18, and I ran out of his house, and thank heaven I signed that contract, because I'm sure I would have gotten fired or not hired at that point. But that was a memorable moment. And also the attic scene with Don, I just loved it. It was just, you know, that's my favorite scene. And falling through the stairs was another memorable moment. I wasn't expecting it. So that was quite a shocker.
What do you think it is about the film that gave it the cult status that it has today?
I think it's amazing. I think it's so much fun. And I think it has that cult classic thing about it because the look of it. I mean, yes, it's funny. Yes, it's horror. But it's also, it has an incredible look. And the characters in it are so unique and different. It's fun to watch. It's fun to look at.
As far as the teenagers that were in the film, you were pretty straight-laced compared to the other ones, wasn't you?
Yeah, I was, and I like that. I'm good with that. But there, you know, Brian Peck is very straight-laced, too, and in real life. He's a real preppy guy, and John Philbin's this surfer guy. And so, yeah, a lot of us were kind of, well, most of us were quite normal. So, but, yeah, they played some good parts in Return.
Now, I know you've put together a documentary on the film. Care to talk about that?
Oh, I'd love to. It's the definitive documentary on Return of the Living Dead, and we have parts one. Mostly it's based on part one, but we also have two and three in it. You can find out more about it on getmorebrains.com, and we're going to be doing some giveaways when you order directly from that website, and pre-sale starts October 11th, and sales go October 18th, so it has all the interviews in it with everybody, including Dan O'Bannon, his last interview. I watched that, and it literally made me cry. His last line is just going to choke everybody up. And it's just so much fun to hear what everybody had to say about getting the job and being in the film. And, you know, they kept it really moving, and it's a lot of fun. They did a great job with it. So I'm really excited about it. So look and try and be one of the first purchasers, because there are goodies.
Have you remained friends with any of the cast members over the years?
Oh, yeah, we're all great friends. I talk to John probably once a week, and, you know, he'll call me and say, honey, what movies did you see this week? And then we'll talk about movies, and, you know, he's cooked for us, and he's stayed at my house several times, and it's just, you know, we're just all warm and fuzzy. It's just like family for us, and I know a lot of people go, oh, you guys have something really special, and I realize, oh, my gosh, we do. You know, it sometimes chokes me up, because we are so close, and we do really care about each other. And it's just, oh, speaking of Don, Calfee's walking in now. And so, yeah, it's wonderful. It's a great, warm, fuzzy family.
I wanted to mention real quick that in El Paso, Texas, they got a convention coming up with the whole cast.
Yes, that's going to be fun. I love when they bring us all together, because the energy is just crazy. And I mean, I love that we're at a great convention right now. We're having the greatest time, and it's Linnea, Dawn, and I. But I do love when they get all of us together. It's really great.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time out from your schedule this morning talking with me.
My pleasure. This is wonderful. Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the documentary, and I'm sure a lot more fans of the film are too.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it yet. You can also watch the trailer and some behind the scenes on that website as well. So you can pick it up there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Linnea Quigley, and you've just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James Downing with Monsters from the Basement. We are in Lexington, Kentucky at Scarefest, and I'm here talking to one of the stars of Return of the Living Dead, the original Scream Queen herself, Miss Linnea Quigley. How you doing tonight, Linnea?
Well, now that you're here, I'm doing really great.
All right. You having a good time so far?
I'm having a great time. I'm meeting great people, having a blast, signing autographs, seeing people I haven't seen before in a long time, and seeing that you got a tattoo of me on you.
That's right, I do.
And it's brand new, I think, just a little baby tattoo. It's about, what, a week old?
Not that old, about 4 days old.
4 days old, and I love it. I guess people are going around asking you to take pictures of it, too.
Yep. I've always loved Return of the Living Dead, and your character was my favorite character in the movie.
Thank you. And supposedly it takes place in Kentucky. So you better watch out when you go outside here in Kentucky, because you might have a zombie or two running after you.
Was acting something you always wanted to do when you were younger?
I wanted to, but I was extremely shy, and I never, ever thought that I would be able to do acting. And of all people that I liked was Barbara Streisand, when she did, like, Funny Girl and On a Clear Day, and I thought she was great, and I, you know, and then I was also into the horror films like Wax Museum, Murder in the Rue Morgue, all those Alfred Hitchcocks, and the Night Galleries, and Outer Limits, and I was really into watching horror films. But I luckily got a chance by doing extra work and moving to California and slowly getting into the business. I carved out a little niche of the Scream Queen, and I'm just so glad that that happened.
I was looking on the internet before we did the interview, and you've got over 100 movies listed on there.
Yeah, it's like, I can't believe I've found time to do that many, but yeah, I guess I have.
Before Return of the Living Dead, you were in a film called Fairy Tales. That was one of your first films?
That was one of my first films, the Fairy Tales, and it was real funny because it was not horror, but I look back on it, and it's just really silly montage of all these fairy tale characters and singing and dancing, and it was just a really weird movie.
Did you just go out and audition for the part of Trash?
Yes, I went to, I had done this movie, Silent Night, Deadly Night, and the casting director remembered me from it because she cast me in it, and she had me come and read for Trash. So I read for Trash with the casting director, then she sent me to the producers, and then all of a sudden, I went to the producers and director and did the audition of Do You Ever Fantasize and the Tombstone Dance, and I got it, and I was elated.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most memorable characters in a film ever.
Well, thank you. Everybody remembers that I was nude, but actually, I did wear a leg warmer, so I wasn't totally nude.
You did have your legs covered up. Do you have any memories of Return of the Living Dead?
I remember that when I got the part of Return of the Living Dead, I was really excited because I got to play this really punk rock, death-just-loving girl that was, like, so unlike me in a lot of ways. But, you know, it was just fun to just play this just wanting-to-die type girl, you know, just, you know, in it to be cool and everything.
Can you say your famous line from the movie?
Oh, my God, if I can remember it, I can remember part of it. Do you ever fantasize about being killed? You know, the different ways of dying? Like mine would be for a bunch of old men to get around me and start eating and tearing me apart. And then, of course, my counterpart, Spider, tells me he doesn't think about dying much.
What did you think about the script when you first read it?
I loved the script when I first read it. I was like, oh, right, I get to play this punk rock girl, and she's like kick-ass and loves death, and I loved it.
What do you think it is about the movie that's made it survive the test of time like it has?
I think good writing, a good ensemble cast, the director was excellent, and there's always something new when you watch it that you see that you haven't seen before, and in the music, the music soundtrack too, definitely, it's just amazing.
Now, after Return of the Living Dead, you went on to do many, many more films, and one of them is Night of the Demons.
That's right. The next one was Night of the Demons, and that one was a really interesting thing because I didn't want to go to the interview because I was older than the cast was supposed to be high school. And I kept telling my managers I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to go. And they said, no, they really, really want to see you. And so I finally said, okay, I'll go. And they cast me right off. And that one, I wanted to have Angela's dress. I liked her, you know, that dark, long dress and everything. But my outfit was pretty cute in it, too. And I was the boy crazy girl who just, like, wanted to look good for the boys and wanted my makeup to be just terrific. And I had some weird makeup mishaps.
Kind of misplaced your lipstick in that movie, didn't you?
I did, but, you know, I missed out on a chance, you know, to really franchise those kind of holding your lipstick bags.
Of all the films that you've appeared in, do you have a favorite?
Well, Return of the Living Dead and Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Bowl-O-Ram, I think I like doing the most.
Another one of my favorites is Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yes. I love playing Samantha, the, you know, the teenager that's looking for her sister who's gone missing, and I think a chainsaw gang has gotten hold of her, a cult, and so I, you know, find a detective and we go out looking for her.
Are you currently working on any projects?
Yes, I just finished 1313 Cougar Club with Michelle Bauer and Brink Stevens. I'm going to do next week a rock video for Sexcrement called, oh, what is it called? It's, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's a band called Sexcrement. And then I'm going to be co-producing and being in a movie in November called Disciples with Joe Hollow.
Now, you do some work with PETA as well, right?
Yes, I'm big into rescuing animals. I don't eat any animals. I haven't eaten any meat, you know, which includes fish, chicken, all that, for 20-some years. And I believe in rescuing animals and saving them, and I've done a lot of work with PETA.
Now, I know Beverly Randolph, who also starred in the film, is here, and she's, along with the cast, has put together a documentary on Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That's going to be out very soon, October 18th, pre-sales October 11th. More Brains, it's called. And that, I've seen the trailer, and it's kick-ass. It's got all of us in it. And interviews, the last interview with Dan O'Bannon even in it. It's going to be a good documentary. And then another documentary coming out in October that I did just this year is called High Heels, The Rise and Fall of the B-Movie Queen Era.
Does that have you and different Scream Queens in it?
It's just the originals, myself, Brink Stevens, and Michelle Bauer.
You said the documentary comes out on the 18th?
The 18th for More Brains, and I don't know the date exactly on the High Heels. It's October sometime, though.
As you look back on your career, what are you most thankful for?
I'm thankful that I got Return of the Living Dead, and thankful I got Savage Streets, and all the films that I did, and got to meet great people along the way at the different conventions. And just had a really nice life so far with meeting all these people and meeting, you know, the great people that, you know, watched the films and made friends with them and just, like, you know, have maybe helped people through hard times with the movies because they're fun and they're, you know, scary. And I've had a lot of people where it was a good escape for them, you know, so just, you know, making people happy and, you know, just rescuing animals, too.
Any aspiring actresses or actors out there, do you have any advice to give them?
Well, I might in about 6 months because I'm working on a special thing that's, I can't tell about it, but I'll have a lot of advice for people. But the main thing is just really always be on time, be professional, take acting classes, and know your lines.
Well, I really appreciate you taking some time talking to me today.
Well, thank you, James. It's great talking to you.
I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Okay. Kiss, 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 kiss.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this very special Monsters from the Basement featuring the Return of the Living Dead Once again, I'd like to remind you, you can visit Monsters from the Basement at www.monstersfromthebasement.com. The shows are on Podomatic. Also, you can go to iTunes and do a search for Monsters from the Basement, and you can find the shows there that you can download to your iPod or MP3 player. I'd like to thank everybody for their continued support. I encourage you to go to the website, check out the interviews. I have tons of interviews with your favorite horror celebrities on there. We're also on Facebook. I'm on there as James Downing. And also, Monsters from the Basement has its own fan page, too, so check those out. Until next time, this is James. Keep it spooky.